broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for June 25th in the year of our Lord, 2018. And our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great solutions for peaceful restoration. As you know, we reject revolution but stand for peaceful restoration of one of the greatest countries on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you had a delightful weekend. And man, we had a hard-hitting broadcast on Saturday. We absolutely exposed the dishonest. I'm telling you, bordering on criminal. United States media, ladies and gentlemen, it is out of control. In fact, it's so bad, even the New York Times is backing away big time from the dishonesty that's gone on everywhere. Many families, especially those from countries, third world countries, in Central America that are plagued by gang violence and criminal activity and all kinds of economic turmoil. They understand that even sending their children to America, no matter how bad it gets in America, it's a gazillion times better than what they have, and that's why parents are willing to do it. But the mainstream press is so separated from reality on the border. The Family Research Council wrote an incredible article about this. But U.S. officials literally are now forced to admit that the girl on the Time magazine cover was not even separated from her mother. It's a big old absolute belligerent lie. All right? The fact is, the mainstream press has been so dishonest about this, it turns out Barack Obama's former secretary had to admit that Obama detained thousands of migrant children, separated them from their parents, and literally put them in cages. There's lawsuits over this right now. Donald Trump, the only one to stand up and do something about it, to shake it up and say the status quo will not do. Fleeing peril. Parents accept risks at the border, writes the New York Times. They're even forced to literally admit what's going on. We also talked about in the New York Times, hey, parents and children separated. It doesn't just happen to immigrants, folks. It happens to Americans all the time. The departments of family services across the country literally take your kid away if you homeschool sometimes, if you don't get vaccinations, if you don't give your kids chemotherapy, if you want natural health and healing opportunities. It doesn't matter. It happens all the time. And government's out of control. And the dishonest press literally fueling the fire they've raised $20 million on this Time magazine lie cover. $20 million to supposedly unite children with their parents. Many of these children don't have parents to be united with. And oftentimes, hey, here's the real question. If Donald's as evil as they say he is regarding this, folks, if he's really as bad as they say, then why doesn't Donald stop them from crossing the border at all? Why doesn't he absolutely arrest and charge these parents with terrorist activity, breaching the sovereignty of our border? Use the NDAA, right? The Defense Authorization Act, right? And why doesn't he call these parents enemy combatants and toss them in Guantanamo Bay? And then why doesn't he just leave the children to fend for themselves on the Mexican side of the border? Now, I'm not saying that ought to be done. What I'm saying to you is, if Donald's as evil as they want you to believe, as the Maxine Waters and the other evil folks that just divide and agitate at every turn, if Donald is bad as they say, that's what he would be doing. But I don't know if you know this. The border between the United States and Canada leaks like a sieve, and it oftentimes isn't even marked. It's the longest border in the world. And there's a girl who, by mistake, she's a French citizen. As far as I understand, she was visiting her mother in Canada. She jogged and by mistake crossed the border and got detained for 2 weeks just based on an accident. And they said ignorance of the law is no excuse. Where's all the Democrats and the belligerents to highlight that issue? See, their dishonest as could be, folks. Their narrative is to absolutely agitate against Donald Trump, to violate our laws, to let our borders leak like a sieve. What about the gangs coming into the United States? What about the sex trafficking and the drug trafficking and the et cetera, the human trafficking? It's out of control, and we need to be able to stand together on this. But again, Congress stuck on stupid. We talked about this second hour with Kevin Blake, CSPOA.org. TheFreedomCoalition.com. He's the Florida State Director for the CSPOA. And we talked about Donald Trump continues to fall short of his promise. He's made all kinds of promises, but he just falls short over and over and over. Why? Primarily because government's so dysfunctional. You got the courts and activists from the bench just getting everything wrong. You've got Congress stuck on stupid. What we need is congressional operational accountability of some kind. All right? What are we going to do? There's no liberty with innocence in prison. And until we get a handle on this, congressionally speaking, it's not going to get better. Congress makes the laws. We could have common sense on the border if we tried. Why are all these illegals allowed to cross the border? And then Donald says, oh, once they cross the border, we're going to violate due process and send them back. Do illegals deserve due process? I personally believe the answer is yes. But they only deserve due process if they cross the border. Why do we say we let them cross the border, then we decide what to do with them? Why aren't we stopping them from crossing the border in the first place? Oh, you're not going to get across the border. You're Mexico's problem because you're not across the border. And why don't we attack Mexico and these foreign nations that are just fraught with violence and trouble? Why aren't we holding any of those states or nation states, if you will, accountable? Why isn't this a discussion about Mexico? Mexico allows these illegals many times to breach their southern border, trek across their whole country, and then end up in the arms of the United States. Why are we allowing that to happen without placing blame on the Mexican government and on the other governments that have so much violence? These people need to flee in the first place. See, we're not honest in this debate at all, folks. And it's designed to attack Donald Trump and anybody who believes in sovereignty and true borders. Okay, they want to destroy the rule of law in America. They agitate the mainstream press so guilty. Even the New York Times and some, I don't know what you say, news services that want to maintain some degree of credibility are backtracking as fast as they can because they know they've built a bridge way too far. I mean, absolutely out of control to the point where it's not just fake news or manipulated news or an alternate set of facts or any other describable, explainable. This is absolutely bordering on criminal. They raised $20 million on this Time magazine cover where they literally lied and said this daughter got separated from her mother. It took the Honduran father to stand up and say that's bogus. And then the guy that took the photo admitted that he saw the mother and daughter drive away in an SUV together. A Border Patrol SUV kind of thing. Okay, they know that it's a false narrative. What do you do with a press that literally paints intentionally a false narrative to lie and agitate this turning into violence and hatred everywhere? Well, you do what I've done. 2 years ago, I wrote an article called A Clarion Call for Civility. It's up on LibertyRoundtable.com. If you've read it, you should reread it. Man, it gets more relevant every single day. If you haven't read it, it really, in my opinion, highlights the problem. America will surely fall if we continue to be divided, a house divided against itself. Tragic but true. All right, that's a recap of Saturday's broadcast. It is available on demand at LibertyRoundtable.com. Please, please donate today. Help us with funding. Tell all your friends. Spread the word. Read A Clarion Call for Civility, the article that I wrote. Spread the broadcast, donate today, would love it. That is a recap of yesterday's show. News the networks refuse to use starts now, today. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you for having me, gentlemen. It's good to be with you.
All right. I guess in Utah, they're agitating for gun control, aren't they?
Well, they sure are, Sam. In the wake of the Parkland, Florida school shooting, legislators all around the country are kind of stirring the pot, trying to, push gun control in their own states, in their own schools. And frankly, Sam, I don't know why they're doing that, because you and I both know that more guns means less crime, and that the creation of gun-free zones only encourages criminals to go to those zones to kill people. So
it's one of two things. Either one, they're ignorant and don't know the truth, which I doubt, or two, they know that that's the next stage for political fame and fortune, is if they buy off on the lie and sell us down the river. In each case, I can't tell who's where, but neither case is good for us.
Right. You know, it was those 1990s when we pushed gun control back and began to see a lot more freedom here in Utah for gun owners. And this is one of the first big attacks on our right to keep and bear arms here in the state of Utah. And my guess is that if it's happening here in Utah, it's also happening in your state, wherever you live. And so we need to be on our toes for this. I appreciate the National Association for Gun Rights bringing this to my attention last week. Dudley Brown of the NAGR wrote a letter and sent it out to hopefully thousands and thousands of people. The special session it wasn't a special session, it was an interim committee meetings, all were held last Wednesday, Sam, in the state of Utah. And it's like the legislators, they meet they have the 45-day session every year from January to March, and then every month thereafter, except I think 1 month in the winter and 1 month in the summer, they have these interim committee meetings. And so it was at this interim committee meeting last Wednesday when the interim committee, one of the committees there met, and this Utah State Schools Commission delivered a report. And in this report, they advocated for more gun control in Utah, even going so far as to consider a call for a special legislative session to take up what they call these red flags.
We'll talk about the legislative session in seconds with Lowell Nelson.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, Lowell Nelson with us, campaignforliberty.org, RonPaulInstitute.org. We're talking about no gun control special session in the state of Utah. No deals, ladies and gentlemen. Utah State School Commission report is what's fueling this discussion at usnews.com. And we need to call the Utah governor's office. He's literally calling for a special session to promote gun control. He's sworn an oath to defend the Second Amendment, but he's literally now using his authority, his power, to call for a special session, as far as I can tell, to violate our gun rights. We need to urge him to reject the special session. We do not want more gun control enacted. We also need to basically contact our state senators and representatives and tell them to reject all gun control proposals, especially every one of those that literally call for the confiscation of firearms. This is serious, serious business, Lowell, and I don't think most people even realize it's going on in our state or any other state for that matter.
Which is why we are bringing it up today, folks, because this is one of the great liberty-oriented radio programs on the planet, Sam. I so appreciate your giving us the opportunity to bring this to light, because Utahns need to know that this is afoot. And on last Wednesday, I listened to, I mean, the committee meeting was over 2 hours on this particular topic, and I listened to part of it. And they were there in bold strokes, this commission. They were advocating for the confiscation of firearms from anybody who was red flagged, basically. Red flagged meaning, you know, if your neighbor calls up the Department of Public Safety and says, well, I think old Mr. Nelson, I think he's, you know, gone off the deep end. You know, I think we'd better lock him up or something. That would be a red flag. And the police then could come and confiscate your weapons without due process, and that is simply and plainly a violation of our inalienable right to defend ourselves, our families, our property. We're guaranteed due process in the amendments to the Bill of Rights and so forth, and even the state Utah, the Utah state constitution does even an even stronger terms. It describes our rights to keep and bear arms and our rights to due process. These types of laws, these red flag laws, would violate those rights and put us back 20, 30 years. And so, yeah, we do need to stand up. Now, why call our legislator? Well, it's because before the governor would ever call a special session, they sort of count noses. And you know, because he doesn't want to call a special session if nothing is going to get done.
Or he doesn't want to call a special session if they literally use the session to promote our God-given unalienable right to keep and bear arms, the natural God-given right of self-defense. If they stand up too strong and turn it into a circus to reject the narrative of the governor and the news picks it up, he doesn't want that either. And that's what we would hope would happen if a session is called.
Yeah, that would be an ideal case. If he calls a special session and we turn the tables on him and pass something which strengthens our right to gun ownership, that would be awesome. But
like, we might push for a constitutional carry example. Those are the kind of things, or at least gun license or concealed carry permit reciprocity. In other words, that we'll accept the permits from other states like driver's licenses and create a more perfect union, if you will, out of it, at the least. So there's two options. The constitutional carry is the best one, but we really need to push back. If he calls for a special session, we need to turn it into a referendum rejecting his agenda and the agenda of the lawmakers that are using this to manipulate against the public. The reason they call a special session is because it turns out to be more of a star chamber. A lot of it happens behind the scenes. The media doesn't report a lot on it. It doesn't have to derail their own special, their own regular sessions. There's all kinds of reasons for trying to push the agenda that way. And they know full well it turns out to be stealth and literally deceives the public and denies the public a seat at the table if we're not very careful, Lowell.
That's a great point, Sam, and I think we ought to mention that to our legislators when we make the call. Don't acquiesce to a special session. No special session, basically, is the message, but if one happens, then let's turn it in to strengthen our right to gun ownership, not weaken it any further. Now, this report, Sam...
So let me just put this in a basketball analogy. Right now, we're saying no special session. We're on defense, and we're saying, don't let them get near the hoop on that one. On the other hand, if they get a special session, and they're going towards the hole, it's time to steal the ball and slam dunk on the other end for the right to keep and bear arms. That's the strategy we need to have about this.
Yeah, I like the analogy. It's perfect. The report included a proposal to pass Obama's failed universal gun registration scheme, which would force all firearm sales in Utah to be pre-approved by federal bureaucrats. That's no good. The commission report also wants to herd more law-abiding citizens into the federal Brady NICS database and strip them of their Second Amendment rights without due process. And so, folks, we simply are not safer with fewer guns. the contrary, as we said before, more guns means fewer crime. A well-armed society is a polite society. But members of the Utah legislature, some members, don't see it that way. Steve Handy of Davis County, for example, Sam, posing as a Republican, said this. He said, quote, the pace needs to be accelerated, end of quote. Earlier this year, by the way, Handy was the one who proposed a gun confiscation bill that fortunately did not even make it out of committee. That's good. And then even according to the Deseret News, House Speaker Greg Hughes, Republican, so-called Republican from Draper, lent his support to the proposal, and he made this remark, quote, I'd like to see gun confiscation happen sooner or later, end of quote. So that's no good. So, again, folks, I mentioned those two or three things so that you have some of the details, some of the particulars of this Utah Safe Schools Commission report in hand. When you make the call, I listened to part of that committee meeting, like I said, the audio of the committee hearing, and these recommendations, they discussed them. They talked about red flag warnings, being able to, you know, for the police to come along and confiscate your weapons simply on the allegation that you might be a little crazy, or that you might be, have gone off the deep end, or that you might pose a danger or an imminent threat to somebody, sometime or someplace. I mean, this is way beyond the pale. I haven't seen any proposal, gun control proposal like this for years and years, Sam. And we simply cannot allow this to stand right here in the state of Utah.
Amen to that. Call the governor's office and say no special session, no gun control, no deals. Ladies and gentlemen, call the governor's office at 801-538-1000. 801-538-1000 and say, uh-uh. Kurt, even psychologists are starting to speak out on this thing.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. You know, it looks like some of them are waking up, and that's the key point. It looks like the headline from Breitbart, psychologist bemoans U.S. gun ownership, comma, admits higher level of rape in gun-free U.K. Pretty much tells the story.
Wow. So it's also in the U.K. where they've, you know, because they've outlawed guns, I believe that violent crime done with blood, blunt objects and knives has gone way up. In fact, I think because of the crimes being committed with knives has gone up so fast, so much recently that they're now considering the ban of knives. They're considering making it illegal to possess knives in the UK, Sam.
Well, there you have
it. Next, it'll be cars and trucks.
Well, but what you got to think about
are dangerous.
Is this psychologist literally says, hey, there's higher levels of rape in gun-free UK, and all you got to have is people free to obtain a rape me not. That's the answer. A rape me not is a gun, folks. They call them assault weapons, but they're only assault weapons if you want to assault somebody. If you don't want to assault somebody, if you want to stop a rape, then it's called a rape me not. You see how they play games with these labels, ladies and gentlemen? That's how they promote this gun control and deceive good people into believing it's the answer. The propaganda is at a feverish pitch, and you better understand the truth and stand up. The Founding Fathers did, and that's why we have a free country, folks. Lol.
And I like the way you like to put it, Sam. It's the good guys with guns who stop the bad guys with guns. And so the answer is not to disarm more of the good guys. The answer is to make it more likely that they have a gun in their possession so that they can stop the bad guys with guns. I like that very much. It's a strong way to make the point.
Well, and you can see it every time in the news. Every time a bad guy with a gun is stopped, it's because a good guy comes, either a cop or a citizen or somebody. Every time the thug is stopped from doing more damage and harm and destruction, it's somebody, a good guy with a gun, that stops them every single time. Just remember that reality check, ladies and gentlemen. Right, we want to talk about E-Verify. They're talking about the border and everything else. Let's talk about American citizens and the E-Verify program. They got a lot going on behind the scenes, folks, while they distract us in the media, don't they? Lowell Nelson to tell you about it in seconds.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Being there with your child and being there for your child are two completely different things. One denotes a simple presence, which is a start, but can also be accomplished by someone other than you.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
See, that sheep did a fine job of being there with the child, but it didn't do a very good job of being there for the child. Now listen to the difference an involved parent can make.
Hey, can you help me with this algebra problem?
I'm not very good at algebra, but do you have any English questions? Because I done real good in English.
Oh, Mom.
Okay, let's take a look.
Okay, so the algebra problem didn't get solved, but something better happened. Mom was there for her child. And when you're really there, they'll know how much you care. From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For more tips on strengthening your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. I want to talk about E-Verify. By the way, Rand Paul just emailed me and said, hey, man, you know, they're trying to create international gun control, too. I kid you not, international gun restrictions. And Rand Paul's saying, hey, Donald Trump needs to reject and turn back the Barack Hussein Obama era gun control via international guidelines and agreements, et cetera, et cetera. And Rand is saying, hey, help me, help me, help me. We need to really get Donald on this. Every day we delay creates a greater chance of gun control. He's spot on and right. Anyway, that's the final gun control update for today. But E-Verify is a serious, serious issue. What they're really trying to do is create a national ID for all of us. They've already got one when it comes to the Social Security card mixed with your driver's license, mixed with et cetera. But you really got to be careful because they're adding biometrics to this thing and turning it into, I mean, it's like a Hercules monster style. You put your passport together, your driver's license together, your Social Security piece together. You tie that with all your online stuff. They got this massive biometric dossier that's just absolutely, I'm talking right now, the Nazis and Hitler couldn't hope for greater. I mean, it's out of control. And while we get distracted by folks kicking people out of restaurants and all that, which is a big issue. And while we, you know, debate the border and debate, you know, pornography and sex everywhere and all the crazy stuff, while we're ultimately distracted, they're literally pushing E-Verify down our throats, disguised as stopping illegal activity. Lol?
Well, I think we knew this years ago, Sam. I remember talking about this and telling people that the immigration The illegal immigration problem they're fomenting and encouraging, by the way, the government is encouraging these illegals to come. I mean, they were actually advertising illegals to come to our country and how to do it without getting caught and so forth. The reason they're doing that is because they do want to they want to have a reason. They want to create a problem so that they can solve the problem. And the way they're going to solve the problem is that they're going to require everybody who comes into the country to be tagged and marked and so forth, so that they can control who's in the country. They know who's here, and so they can control them, right? I mean, it's the Hegelian dialectic in action, and it's taking a number of years to accomplish, but we predicted this years ago, Sam, probably right here on this show. We talked about this, and it threatened us last week specifically in the immigration bill that was all over the news. I think they had the vote on Thursday. Now, the good news is that bill did not pass, there's good and bad in that bill. I mean, I think a reform of our immigration system would be very helpful, because it's so difficult for people who want to come here legally to actually come here. I mean, that's a huge, long, drawn-out process, bureaucratic nightmare. And so that if they were going to fix that part of our immigration system, more power to them. I think that would be fantastic. But what they did instead was they packed a ton of pork into this immigration bill. And one of the bad things they put in it was an E-Verify program that Sam, you just described, where they put biometric information, Social Security information, driver's license database information, real ID information, all of this into this program, which took court today, of course, is voluntary. But if it goes and succeeds and works, then of course they'll make it mandatory in the future. And so Ron Paul wrote about this last February, a wonderful column that is worth reviewing today. That's why we're talking about it. He says, imagine how much time would be diverted from serving consumers and growing the economy if every U.S. business had to comply with E-Verify. Also, collecting the relevant information and operating the mandatory E-Verify system will prove costly to the taxpayers. Millions of Americans could be denied jobs because E-Verify mistakenly identifies them as illegal immigrants. These Americans would be forced to go through a costly and time-consuming process to force the government to correct its mistake. And it's doubtful that employers could afford to keep jobs open while potential hires went through this process. Now he hits on a real important point here. He says a federal database with Social Security numbers and other identifying information is an identity thief's dream. Given the federal government's poor track record for protecting personal information, is there any doubt that mandatory E-Verify would put millions of Americans at risk for identity theft? End of quote. Yeah, I mean, it's a huge problem. Those who support the E-Verify system, they say, well, it's no threat to our civil liberties. It's only going to be used to verify legal residency in the United States. They even claim, Sam, it's not a national ID system.
Now, they even suggested back in the days when they tried to put the Social Security card together, they said it was never to be used for identification purposes. In fact, the early Social Security cards literally said not to be used for identification on them. And now they've taken that off, and you see what's happened there. You've already got a national ID card. What we're debating now really is whether we're going to add biometric information to it and create a whole dossier behind it for greater tyrannical behavior by government bureaucrats, lol.
That's a great point, Sam. We have to look at history and learn from history. In this case, what does history teach us? Well, Americans were promised that only the wealthiest Americans would ever, ever pay income taxes. And now look who pays all the income taxes today, right? It's the middle class. It's the people who were promised decades ago that they would never, ever have to pay income taxes. So that's one example. Another example is the Patriot Act, right? The Patriot Act 10 years ago, 15 years ago, whenever it was passed, it was the early part of the last decade, we were told that it would only be used against terrorists. Only against terrorists. And yet today, it is routinely used to do what? Investigate drug crimes, right? You and I don't have privacy because of the Patriot Act. And And I recall one of my favorite cartoons, Sam, was of when the Patriot Act was being considered, where they had a copy of the U.S. Constitution on a table, and so you could see the copy of the Constitution very plainly. And then a rubber stamp had just made its mark on the Constitution, and the rubber stamp was being lifted up off of the impression that it left on the Constitution. Well, guess what the rubber stamp said? It said, void where prohibited by law, right? And so that's what Congress does now. They don't even attempt to modify it or to amend the Constitution like they did back when they passed the 18th Amendment, prohibiting the sale and the production and sale manufacture of alcohol. They don't even pretend to do that. All they have to do is pass a law in Congress, and then everybody thinks that that is now the law of the land, even though that law is unconstitutional. The Patriot Act is a perfect example of that.
But I'll say this, though, unless we challenge it in court, unless we put pressure on our representatives, unless we demand the president do something about rejecting the constitutionality of something, it stands as if it's, you know, the truth. And if the president doesn't say anything about it, he just carries it out. In other words, executes. He is the chief executive, if you will. He should say, I'm not going to execute this unconstitutional behemoth. He should demand the courts deal with it. The courts need to not be activists from the bench, or they need to be impeached for bad behavior or removed for bad behavior. And we need to really put pressure on Congress. I submit to you, at the start of the show, I talked about Saturday's broadcast. What we have is a dysfunctional Congress. They're literally not taking up anything. If the courts get it wrong, it's up to Congress to go back and go, wait a minute, you misinterpreted what we intended. We're going to pass clarifying legislation that really put you on the right page. If something is amiss. And so Congress has a real responsibility, and I would say 90% of the problems we have today are based on Congress. They're not taking action. They're sidelined with propaganda. They're sidelined with lobbyists, and they're not focused on doing the business of the people, which they've sworn an oath to do. And at some point, it becomes criminal behavior to reject the supreme law and be tied up with lobbyists. And at some point, there needs to be accountability. The only mistake the founders made is there's not enough accountability, except for we kick them out of office if we can.
That's a great point. Well, we need to do that. And now's the perfect time to do that because we've got primaries all over the country. The one in Utah ends tomorrow, and so if you haven't sent in your ballot, if you live in Utah, then you need to get your ballot postmarked today at the very latest, or it's not going to be counted. It won't be included in the canvas, or I guess you could probably take it down to the county clerk's office tomorrow, Tuesday, if you want. But if you're going to put it in the mail, it has to be postmarked today in order to be included in the canvas. So, now, if you're outside of Utah, I don't know when your primary is, but it's an important time. A lot of people don't vote in the primaries because they just don't have as much interest as they ought to have. But
it's partly because there's not even a good mechanism to let us know about it and find easy ways for us to get involved. We're too busy with our lives, and it's tragic but true. Kurt?
Well, I was going to ask Lowell a little simple question that applies to me, but about this whole thing. By the way, Lowell, as a candidate on the Independent American Party thing, how can a guy like me participate in the Republican primaries? Is there a way that I can?
You're shut down. Like, you're absolutely disenfranchised.
I mean, can I basically say, "Hey, today I'm a Republican. I want a ballot," and tomorrow?
We'll get back, we'll have Lowell answer your question. We'll do it in seconds. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. Kurt wants to know if he's of a different party. What can he do in the primaries, huh? Liberty Roundtable Live.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Getting the kids to school, cleaning the house, doing the laundry. It seems that the work routine as a stay-at-home mom is never ending. And even though I'm the prime grocery shopper in our family of four, I simply don't have time to scrutinize all the labels on the countless food products I buy. Oh, sure, I've noticed all the latest certification seals. Organic, non-GMO, gluten-free. It definitely seems to be the latest craze. But it was only recently that kosher certification seals caught my attention. You see, my husband had me download an app called Kosher-tify, and it shed light on a century-old certification industry that slipped under the radar screen from the majority of our public. I also noticed a question mark at the end of the app name, and that makes great sense as there's far more questions regarding this industry than answers. In fact, the developers refer to this as the kosher question. Sure, I'm a busy mom and didn't pay attention to our food culture, but now I have transparency, a convenient grocery list feature, and the ability to eat in favor of my family's best interests, and you can discover it too at thekosherquestion.com.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, Kurt, rephrase your question, then Lowell can answer.
Well, let's just say, you know, in my case, for example, Lowell, I'd really like to give a vote to, like, my friend Mike Kennedy.
What do you mean?
Several other, you know, people like my Utah County Sheriff, I would like to do that. But you know that I am a candidate on the Independent American Party for office, for the seat that Mike Kennedy had or holds at this time. And so I was wondering if there's a way that if you walk in there like with my mail-in ballot and say, look, today I want to say that I'm a Republican so that I can get a Republican ballot, fill this in out, you know, this thing out, vote, and then, you know, go ahead and restore my, I guess you could say, membership in the Independent American Party. Is there a way to do that?
Yes, the affiliation is what we call that, where you affiliate with one party or another. And it's really quite common, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on the way you look at it. But a lot of people do that. For instance, back
Hold on, let me stop you to be clear. He's on the ballot as one party. Can he register or affiliate with a different party? There's usually laws against doing that.
Oh, yeah, if you're a candidate, then they probably would not be able to allow to change your affiliation because...
That is correct. You are disenfranchised, my friend. You need to just sit down, go away. Your third-party status has destroyed you, and you're not welcome at the table anymore. You got it? Isn't that how the laws are set up, Lowell?
Well put, yes. It depends on the party. I know in the Republican Party, if you are a candidate for the Republican Party, but you openly, you know, and you change your affiliation to another party, you lose the party support. You can't even be a candidate anymore. But as far as the voter, the elections office, the county clerk's office, they don't care what party you affiliate with. And so you can change your party affiliation and participate in the primary of any party you choose and then change your affiliation back to what you want it to be and vote, you know, that way in the general, because party affiliation doesn't matter in the general election. And, you know, back when Merrill Cook was up against Derek Somebody, this is after Merrill Cook made people mad here in the state of Utah, the establishment of powers to be, they put up this other guy, and there was a ton of Democrats that changed their affiliation, came over and voted for, you know, Cook's opponent, so that Cook lost the primary. And the weaker candidate then showed up on the general election ballot and then lost the race. So, you know, that happens a lot. I mean, people do that. They change their affiliation really quite often. Do I think that's right? Theoretically, no, because, I mean, if you're a member of a certain party, then really that party should be able to choose its starting lineup. It's like the Utah Jazz playing the Dallas Mavericks. You want the Dallas coach choosing the starting lineup for the Utah Jazz, or vice versa? Well, of course not. You want the true fan or the true coach to be choosing the starting lineup. So that's a good question, Kurt. And a lot of people do change their party affiliation, but if you're a candidate in for one party, there's probably no way you can change your party affiliation to vote in somebody else's, some other party's primary.
And the other problem is when you do that, it's up to you to fill out the form. And then the problem is the timing, too. By the time you fill out the form and then what affiliation you have and then to get switched back, if you're not very careful, what it will do is they'll say, well, we don't have the updated thing. And what it'll mean then is then your records are kind of in suspension and you won't be able to vote. I've experienced that, too.
Yeah, you have to be you have to pay attention. But I do know a lot of members of other parties, the American Independent, the Constitution Party, and so forth, who have changed their party affiliation in order to vote in the primary right here in Utah, tomorrow's primary. They do that. They're conscientiously doing that because they want the best person coming out of the primary, who they deem is the best person, coming out of the primary, and then they will change, you know, next week they're going to file another form which will change their affiliation back to whatever, you know, is the party of their choice. So I know it happens. I know a lot of people are doing it, and it happens across all party lines. All it's just, you know, not just members of the Democrat Party or not just members of the Constitution Party, but it happens a lot, and it just really depends on the appeal that the various candidates have to the voters, and also how bad their competition is. Because if somebody gets really angry and you want to vote against them, then you're going to be more likely to change your party affiliation to vote against that person.
All right, there you go, Kurt.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure. I guess it all depends on, like you say, the party.
They want you to be
in my
not
case,
sure,
if
sir.
I
the longer
if
you
I
stay
walk
in the state
in
of confusion,
say,
Kurt, the better.
Yeah, if I walk in there today with my, you know, mail-in ballot in hand and say, look, I would like to change my association or whatever so that I can vote for some, you know, candidate on the Republican ticket. Then after I vote, I want to change my affiliation back. So you're saying that if I did that, at least if I did it as a Republican, then I would be disbarred or banded or whatever. I don't know if that's the case with the Independent American Party. I have hoped that they say, hey, we're the no-party party.
Well, hold on.
But anyway.
You're assuming that it's up to the Independent American Party, and I'm submitting to you that there's laws that govern this, my friend. And the Independent American Party is held hostage by the laws. And if you literally change parties while running as a candidate on a given ticket or whatever, a given slot, then the problem is I might be able to vote for a guy that's not even a member of the party that he claims he's running under. And so there's legal repercussions separate from the party discussion, Kurt.
Yeah, I'd have to look up Utah Title 20A. A is in Apple. 20A. 20A.
So here's what I'm thinking. Kurt can look up Utah Title 20A, and he can go in there and try it all and let us know tomorrow what happens.
Yeah.
It'll be like a five-hour exercise or so.
Okay.
Yeah. It'll just derail your whole day. You won't make a living. You'll just go broke. It'll be great.
Well, one thing was going to happen, at least my wife was working on her, because she's a good Republican, you know, but she was working on her ballot, and in one place she put two marks, you know, like when it came to, I think it was a county commission thing or something like that, and then you noticed, hey man, you know, if you voted with two places, I mean, you basically got a ruined ballot, so we figured maybe we'll go in. Yeah, maybe we'll go in and try to get her thing fixed and do mine at the same time. I don't know.
Yeah,
we'll
good
see.
Luck. Now we can tie up mom and dad.
Just trying to participate. That's right.
Now, I agree with your participation
point.
Doing
patriotic effort.
But the problem is, Kurt, they want you to just derail and spend your time. It's like going to the DMV. You know, they act like it's to keep us all safe, but what it does is just nail you down in red tape and confusion and cost and expense. And pretty soon you can't even get about the business of your life. And that's exactly the way they like it. The longer you're in confusion for them, the better off, you know, they feel like they are. By the way, Lowell wanted to get to an article before the end of the hour, written by Ron Paul. Ron Paul article rewind the Constitution and its rejection by the U.S. government. Lowell?
Well, thank you, Sam. The Ron Paul, this marvelous doctor from Texas who served about 24 years in Congress over a span of three decades, in the year 1999, wow, that's been 19 years ago, which is basically the turn of the century, right? He gave what I believe is one of the most profound speeches on the floor of the House in the U.S. Congress that's ever been given. He entitled his speech, "A Republic, If You Can Keep It." Now, those of you who know and understand history will recognize those words as coming from Ben Franklin, because after the Constitutional Convention had ended, there was a townsperson there who asked Ben Franklin, "Well, what kind of government have we got? I mean, what have you given to us? What have you been doing here the whole summer? And, you know, what kind of government are we going to have?" And Ben Franklin said, "A republic, if you can keep it." And it's a big if, Sam. It's a big, big if, because a republic, Ben Franklin recognized that a republic depends on the virtue of the people in order to maintain its standing. And virtue of the people is, or can be, pretty transient. You know, if a people, if they debauch their morals, for example, they will lose the republic. And so it's a very tenuous thing. But there, those all across our country, many, many people, good men and women everywhere, who do believe in this republic, who do live virtuous and upright lives, and who do deserve a republic. They deserve to keep it. But this vast number of people, unfortunately, have tended to be silent over the years, and we have seen a creep of tyranny spread over the land. And, you know, Ron Paul delivered this speech in the House. It's a fantastic speech. And what I recommend, you know, I normally watch or reread the U.S. Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, over Independence Day holiday, which is coming up next week. But I think this year, Sam, I am going to reread this speech in its entirety with my family. It's epic. Just to give you a flavor of it, he says this. He says, "The Constitution made it clear that the government was not to interfere with productive, nonviolent human energy. This is the key element that has permitted America's great achievement. It was a great plan. We shall all be thankful for the bravery and the wisdom of those who established this nation and secured the Constitution for us. We have been the political and economic envy of the world. We have truly been blessed. The founders often spoke of divine providence, and that God willed us this great nation. It has been a grand experiment, but it is important that the fundamental and moral premises that underpin this nation are understood and maintained. We as members of Congress have that responsibility." Now, I mean, his speech takes a good 30 minutes to go through. I'm not going to try it, even attempt to go
through. The bottom line, though, is it's very Founding Father-esque. It lays out the fundamental understanding the Founding Fathers had. It understands the checks and balances that made America great, the morality that it takes to be a free people, the understanding and the education required to remain free, the proper role of limited government and the relation to the people. And Kirk Crosby's simple example of, am I disenfranchised or can I literally partake of the political process the way I would like to? This just shows that he's being meddled with, tampered with. His free energy is being stifled by these regulations and these laws and these partisan politics that the Founding Fathers warned against. And it goes on and on and on and on. But you can take that example all the way up to the illegal alien example, all the way up to E-Verify. Everything we've talked about today literally relates to this very topic Ron Paul so wisely and so eloquently delivers on the House floor back in what, 2000?
1999, it turns out.
All right, 99.
And he ended his speech with these words, powerful words. "Let's hope and pray that our political focus will soon shift toward preserving liberty and individual responsibility and away from authoritarianism. The future of the American Republic depends on it. Let us not forget the American dream depends on keeping alive the spirit of liberty."
Amen to that. Quote. Thank you so much, Lowell. Godspeed, sir.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. This is LibertyRoundtable.com. Donate today and get involved. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America, but we need your help, folks. We declare this nation shall endure.